Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we're on location in Portage, Indiana at Northwest Indiana Forum with Heather Ennis. Good morning, Heather, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
I start every show. Just let me ask you, tell me a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up in the area?
Sure. So yeah. I'm the youngest of five kids. I grew up in Chesterton. I actually grew up in Dune Acres. I went to Chesterton schools, Duneland schools, Yost Elementary School, Westchester Middle School, Chesterton High School. So okay. I graduated from Purdue University. And after I graduated, I moved away for about 10 years, and then I came back.
You got sucked back into the region.
Sucked back in. Yeah. The love of the region.
Very cool. So now let's just jump into Northwest Indiana Forum. When was it founded? How long is the...
So we've been around since 1979.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So for quite some time. So industry got together to talk about opportunities to grow the economy in Northwest Indiana and really move that ball forward. And so we've acted as the voice of Northwest Indiana business and also the Economic Development Organization for a regional effort. We work with all the local economic development organizations and trying to continue to move the region forward. So we've got some great partnerships that help get that done.
So the mission in 1979, is it similar or the same as it is today, or is it evolved a lot?
We're in a continually changing economy, and it's evolved, but I don't know that it's evolved as much as it needs to. We're in the middle of a economic development strategic plan for the region as a whole. So we've sent an RFQ a couple of months ago and are interviewing people in order to really put together a strong economic development plan for the region. I think we've got some great plans in the Marquette plan and in the 2040 plan and in the SEDS, but really some visionary things that can help tie all those components together and give a little bit more stronger direction for the region as a whole and talk about the opportunities that maybe we're missing that perhaps, you know, we all get a little too close. You know, can't necessarily see the forest for the trees because we have such great industries here and we know what they are and we want to help them grow and support them. But there might be opportunities that we're extremely well suited for that we're not going after just based on what our workforce is and based on the natural resource components that we have here. So we need to continually reevaluate those things and diversify our economy. I think steel's been a huge opportunity for us. But again, they're going to continue to automate and be able to do more work and more production with fewer and fewer people. So as we look at keeping the economy going in Northwest Indiana and keeping people employed, finding those next wave of technology jobs and the things, you know, the jobs that of the future haven't even been thought of yet.
And I think that goes to the fact of, yes, it's going to be automated, and we need people to figure out how to or learn how to use those machines too,
right? And how to reprogram them, and how to repair them,
right.
and how to integrate them into lines and systems, and what that looks like from a manufacturing process. So it's a different workforce,
exactly.
But right. But we've had a lot of success and a lot of great opportunities that have happened here in Northwest Indiana because of the large industry that we have. But at the same time, we haven't evolved as quickly because of those great stable employers in our marketplace. So, you know, it's...
And I think sometimes people get stuck on, well, this is how it used to be and this is how it's always going to be type attitude.
And I think that what we've learned in the last 10 years is how it used to be isn't anything like what it's going to be. I mean, you know, you think about 10 years ago, the introduction of the iPhone and the dramatic changes that have happened in our lives since that and what computing process looks like. I mean, we have, I was at a luncheon yesterday and the speaker was talking about, we have more computing power in our hand than they had when they launched the first rockets into space. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he was like, how criminal, how terrible. Why would we put people into space with such little technology? I mean, but kind of tongue in cheek. But again, the opportunities that we have at our disposal and the amount of information that we have is staggering. Sometimes hard to keep up with, but
definitely
hard at the same time, you know, having the conversations about how we become more fluid and lifelong learners and be adaptable to things. It's harder for us as Midwesterners to be adaptable and pull your, you know, we kind of have a, there's no such thing as failure and we'll just power through until, you know,
right.
And that again, that there's a pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality where, we think that, you know, if you're giving somebody seed money to start a business or something like that, that they're not going to be successful because they can't find the first, you know, $300,000 to get their business off the ground by themselves when perhaps they have the best idea in the world.
Exactly.
So, you know, we need to have a little bit of a paradigm shift here in the Midwest. And it's just, it's a Midwestern mentality and it benefits us in a lot of ways, work ethic wise and, stick-to-it-ness and the ability to persevere. But at the same time, it makes us a little less innovative and, we're more risk averse.
Yes. Yes, definitely risk averse. So just taking a small step back. So economic development, there's multifacets to that. So why don't you just like kind of hit on the subsets of what that entails and who it entails maybe.
So yeah, we work in the 7-county region. And so the things from an economic development standpoint are, attracting new business, which is the sexy, exciting part. But really it's the smallest part of that. I mean, we do, a lot of marketing and a lot of relationship building in order to attract new business. But helping existing business grow and 80% of the growth that happens in an economy comes from existing businesses. So those smaller and mid-level companies that started here, giving them the opportunity to grow here and helping them figure out pathways to growth and supply chain opportunities where we could streamline some of their processes are important things to think about. And then entrepreneurship type growth as well. As I said, you know, we have not been as great at that as other places in the country. The coasts seem to have a little bit more propensity for entrepreneurial development, especially the West Coast. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing more and more things happen here in the region with a Society of Innovators as we're celebrating innovation and growth and different technologies coming to the marketplace. You start to shine lights on more great things happening here in the region. And then Purdue Northwest has some great things happening through their new Center for Manufacturing and Commercialization in Hammond. And then, you know, we're seeing other things sprout up, you know, through the Purdue Tech Center or through Valparaiso University has just started an innovation center. And so people are getting more innovative minded and pushing toward those things, but
couple steps behind.
We're a couple steps behind, and part of it is a venture capital thing and a risk averse thing here in the Midwest. But the other part of it is that we've had a lot of great success with the industries that have been here, so there hasn't been necessity is the nature of all invention. Is that what they say? So
yeah.
So when you've been kind of comfortable or haven't been extremely hurting, you don't have that driving need to go out and innovate. So that I think has stifled us a little bit. And I don't want to blame the comfort of the opportunities that have been created here as a bad thing, but it's oftentimes hard to be innovative when mm-hmm. when everything is going fairly well.
And I think the mindset sometimes with being innovative is that you have to discover or figure out something that's completely no one's ever heard of whatsoever, instead of just taking something that's already existing, tweaking it, making it better, just, so everybody can use it.
Just improving process. And, exactly. And that truly can be transformational by mm-hmm. just a flip of a switch or a tweak here or there that really, I mean, you know, so I had a Palm Pilot back in the day and right. utilized that, and it was clunky and it was hard. And then we went to BlackBerry, but you know, iPhone truly revolutionized the industry. I mean, mm-hmm. it really made a dramatic difference of the way that we view everything and the way that we view the world and the way that we communicate with one another.
True.
So, yeah. I mean, same with the internet, same with, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking yesterday about contact lenses that carry the internet on them so that kids won't learn rote things anymore. They, you know, studying the capitals of the United States isn't going to be dramatically important because they're going to be able to find that information at their fingertips.
Right.
So it moves us from a rote society to an innovative society, which I think is a pretty exciting thing. That's, you know, but how do you plan for that?
And I think part of that, and I could blab on about education for a long time, but it goes back to the education system, because we are still teaching our kids in that old industrial era way. And then they get out of school and they don't know how to innovate, or they don't know what to do. And it's like starting from ground zero if they get in with an innovative company, because they have to unlearn what they've already learned to open their minds.
Right. And so, how do you create problem solvers? How do you create mm-hmm. collaborative thinkers? How do you, and true, when we went to school, people were saying, don't collaborate, don't look at your neighbor's paper, everyone face forward, keep your, you know, right. don't talk to anyone, don't share your ideas, don't, you know, so it is, it's a totally different philosophy. And the hardest part is the people that have to teach it have been taught in the ways that we were right. taught. And so,
true.
So they don't know, right. and we're talking about Manufacturing Day and getting people out into the work world to see the opportunities that are happening in manufacturing and opportunities that are happening in healthcare and how to prepare kids for these opportunities. But truthfully, educators have, most of them graduated from high school, went to college, came home and started teaching. They've not been out in, mm-hmm. you know, they maybe spent summers lifeguarding or babysitting or working in retail or things like that. But most likely they didn't spend a summer on a shop floor working a CNC or a lathe machine or, you know, mm-hmm. seeing products being built. So they don't have any real world experience with that. So it's hard to teach about these opportunities when you don't see them anymore. And
right. And not only with grade school, high school teachers, but college professors are the same way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so it's unfortunate that a lot of the things that we teach, not that they're not practical, but that they're hard to apply.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, I mean, I'm so grateful for my college education, and I think that it was a wonderful use of my time and a sculpting of my talents and giving me the opportunity to prove to myself that I could learn, prove to myself that, and it was fun. but to be able to accomplish something and to get the skills that I needed, you know, but I have a communications degree with a minor in psychology. So,
right. And why did you choose that?
Because I could get out of school in my fifth year with that degree.
And that's exactly what my point was. So, because I went to school originally as an engineer, and within a year I figured out I don't want to do this. And I switched to a business major and ended up owning a business before I even graduated college. So it was, I think a lot of it is like what you just said, or what my experience was. You just do whatever you can because you think you need that degree.
Right.
Instead of getting it to do something with.
Yeah. And so I think college is outstanding. I do think that there needs to be a shift again in the way that we do that. I mean, I don't know that just because you get 360 credits or whatever the credits are for a bachelor's degree, that means that you're proficient in what you're graduating in. And right. it doesn't, I don't know, you know, prepared for what, you know, and so I think that I think it's worthwhile. I think that college is fantastic, but I think as the world is changing faster and faster, we have to change these systems to keep up with the needs of what is moving forward. And I don't think it's any different than the other revolutions that we've seen. You know, I don't think, I don't think that it's that the internet and technology, and I think it's happening more quickly. So, whereas, you know, electricity and things like that, although they spread quickly, they didn't spread as quickly as things spread on the internet. And, and so people had a little bit longer time to adapt and to acclimate to new things. But now new inventions are coming out every day. And so it's a totally different world. And the human condition is not set up to be able to assimilate that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I guess I haven't looked at it like that, but you're absolutely right that, I mean, now the phone that you have or that I have is probably outdated already, like the day you buy it.
Absolutely.
Because the technology, they don't stop. They just keep trying to get it better and better and better. So back to, you said the business makeup or the role that you guys have for attracting new business, helping existing business and the entrepreneurial growth. Right now in Northwest Indiana, what is the makeup of businesses as far as size?
So, you know, there's a wide variety. Obviously, you know, you've got your larger employers, and all across the map we're, you know, we do have some startups and some innovation and some extremely exciting things happening here. But we have innovators that started here, you know, like Urschel Laboratories that started here three or four generations ago that now are employing, you know, hundreds of people. So, and growing by leaps and bounds and have a huge market share on their market in every French fry or salad that you've, bag salad that you've ever eaten has been cut on their machinery. So there is a diversity of size of companies, but I think the smaller level and the larger level are both struggling to find their place in the global market.
Okay.
So the SBDC and the SBA and different loan opportunities and things like that exist to help those smaller to mid-level market size companies grow. You know, the RDC does 504 lending and things like that can help those small to mid-sized companies really grow their operations. Whereas I think a lot of regulatory and different things are happening on the larger side, as well as trade negotiations and things like that, that with a global marketplace is making the challenges on those two spectrums, on the smaller side and the larger side, that those two sides of the spectrum have the most challenges right now. I think the mid-level, mid-range size companies have the best opportunity for growth and the best opportunity to continue to be community-based companies that start in an area or perhaps relocate to an area, but then work closely hand in hand with the community to grow because they don't have someone, a large corporate office in Pittsburgh, helping to direct, you know, how they do their human resources or things like that. So there's a little bit more opportunity for growth of the community with the growth of the business.
Whether they outscale or I should say outsource locally to do some of the admin stuff, or they build the department in-house, it's still local.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, that while they're building those things, they need the resources that say the SBA or the local chamber of commerce or organizations like ours, lend. You know, so we do a lot of advocacy for business. As I said, we operate as the voice of Northwest Indiana business. So oftentimes, you know, people that have our large industrial users maybe have advocates that are specific to their industry or advocates that are specific to their company, and that might not be something that they need. But as we talk about the business climate as a whole, it gives us the opportunity to be true advocates on that and then help those mid-level companies be successful as well.
So is that who you do work with the most? Is that mid-level company to do that?
We work, as I said, and from the forum's perspective, we've got large members, BP, Ursler, NIPSCO, but we've got mid-level and mid-size and one or two person operations too. So really, right, from our perspective, it really is what makes the best climate for business. How do we build the best sandbox? How do we continue to make, you know, we've got all these resources here in Northwest Indiana. We've got a freshwater port. We've got commuter rail line that's expanding. So excited about the double tracking and the Westlake mm-hmm. corridor expansion of for South Shore. We've got great Class 1 railroad here and short line railroad here. We've got highway infrastructure that, you know, we truly are the crossroads of America. In addition to with all of the rail that we have here, we've got great fiber access. So creating technology opportunities should be easier and should, you know, with the water infrastructure that we have, 20% of the world's water is in the Great Lakes, and that's right outside our doorstep. So,
right.
You know, there's huge, we have all the right ingredients. So we're
just trying to find the right,
recipe, right, of how to bake the best cake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So the mix of, and I don't want to like beat this up, but do you know, like in Northwest Indiana, the like 2 to 10 person, like what that makes up of companies?
You know, or? I think I want to say that, like 83% of the businesses are small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm sorry, I don't know the statistics right off the top.
No,
of
that's
my head,
fine.
But yeah, I mean, you know, a small business makes up the majority. And so, right, and then most people's definition of small business is 200 employees or less. So most communities would be like, well, a 200 employee company, that's not a small business.
Right.
A 4-person employee is a small business.
Right.
So, but truthfully, you know, the majority of the growth comes from the smaller businesses hiring
mm-hmm.
8 to 10 people, or, you know,
right,
and growing organically. But we've had great success with attracting business from the outside as well. Probably, you know, we want to have more success, obviously, and continued success. The tax climate of Illinois has made quite a few people look over the border to try mm-hmm. and figure out how to take advantage of Northwest Indiana. But moving your manufacturing industry is not an easy.
Right. So how much of what you guys do is attracting business? You said it was a small part.
Right? No. We do a lot of relationship building on that front end of,
okay.
So the local economic development organizations we work with are the LEDOs from across Northwest Indiana. So the local economic development organizations generally spend the majority of the time with business retention expansion. And then
gotcha.
The end process of deal closing and site selection on the local level. We spend a lot of time on that high, you know, 10,000 to the 1,000-foot level of marketing the region, building the relationships externally, telling the story internally of what Northwest Indiana's opportunities are, really acting as the voice for business and that economic development community to to keep pushing that out there. And then we stake out and drive some bold initiatives that maybe the municipalities that are more regionally broad, that the municipalities wouldn't accomplish on their own or wouldn't think about on their own, or that companies perhaps wouldn't look at on their own. So, and not always are we the ones to do the work, but we bring the voice to the table and say, okay, who's the best person to do this? For, sure. You know, residency program, IUN and the hospitals are working on a residency program. And so I think that's a fantastic opportunity for the region. It's a great growth possibility. And we continue to go out there and figure out, okay, how do we support this? How do we help this? How do we drive this bold initiative that could be game changing for the region?
Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, the 10,000 foot view is helpful for everybody, because if you're right across the table from each other, you might not realize that you can help each other until someone else
says, hey, what if we do this? Yeah. And right. What if we do this? And right. Then everyone goes, oh yeah, that would be, you know, so most of the local communities don't have the marketing dollars to be able to do trade shows or advertising campaigns or things like that on their own. So they pull resources together, fund some things to do it jointly, and we help shepherd those things. Then also we continually keep those relationships going so that site selectors, brokers, developers remember who we are and what we have to offer and continue to market that. And then we work on the legislative side to make sure the initiatives and incentives to keep and retain as well as attract business remain intact. So
don't get bogged down in red tape.
Yeah.
So
red tape's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So are you guys a 501c3 then?
We are both a 501c3 and a 501c6. We have the Northwest Indiana Forum Foundation, which is a c3, and then we're a c6 as just the forum.
Okay. So how are you guys funded then?
So we're funded through investors that believe in the mission of the forum to be a catalyst for economic growth for the region. So we continue. And then we also get some funding through the local economic development organizations, as I said, through their support of the programs that we're trying to do collectively. But the majority of our funding comes through grants and through individual companies investing.
Okay. So as far as the attracting new businesses, have you found any one thing or group of things that has been well received and has brought people in, or is it a combination of everything that's going on?
Preparedness and welcome opportunity is really what, when we win the deals, that's what we're finding, is that ease of getting into the marketplace. When we're prepared and know where we want to put people and what we what site would work best for them, and the community is excited and engaged in the process, that's really when it works most seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So being open, being ready for business to come, being welcoming.
Having those open arms.
Yeah, having those open arms. Having your processes well-defined. Having, you know, so we continually, and our local economic development folks continually do as well, work with municipalities to find ways to streamline process and make sure that when businesses come, we're not putting too many constraints, or we know what our zoning process is, and we know whether you start with the BZA or do you start with the plan commission, right, or do you start, you know, where you have to start, because
so they don't get stalled basically.
Right. And so, yeah. And so that we're not giving anyone the runaround. So, mm-hmm. So clearly identified processes, things like that. But I mean, we've had great successes with bringing in new companies, but then, you know, also seeing great expansions as well at, as we talked about, Urschel, Pratt, Howmet, Alcoa Howmet, which is, they've just changed their name and I can't remember their new name, but out in La Porte. So, I mean, great successes then with companies that are already invested here that are expanding and growing and moving their organizations forward, as well as attraction like Hoist Lift Truck and Land of Frost and, you know, other things that have come in,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had the, and but another great expansion opportunity named Montesol. Montesol invested here originally, and they've had four expansions. So,
yeah,
you know,
so they must be happy,
right? They're not only are they happy, but they work well with the communities, and the communities understand the value mm-hmm. that the organization brings and what that means to them. So, you know, it becomes more of a partnership than you know. I think oftentimes, previously it was seen as government and business and two kind of separate silos and two, you know, you're going to regulate me and you're going to try and get away with stuff is that, you know, mm-hmm. and so now we've seen kind of that blending where public-private partnerships are happening more and government sees business as a partner and business sees government as a partner and they try and figure out the best ways to be able to work more seamlessly and more unified than...
And I think it that's the only way to grow. If you always think that someone's after you, why should I grow if you're just going to take it away? Or whatever, you know, vice versa. So how long have you actually been with the forum?
I've been here for 3.5 years.
Okay.
So
in that 3.5 years, has there been a big shift in how things work, or were you brought in to do anything specific, or?
I think, you know, I feel as if the region is working more collaboratively than they had in the past. So I think, you know, I think that there's more regional cooperation, there's more regional communication. Northwest Indiana has tended to be a circle your wagons and shoot in kind of crowd. And I say it often. But I think that we're starting to get some regional pride back, and we're starting to be excited about opportunities that are in front of us. I mean, Northwest Indiana is going for an Amazon bid. I mean, you know, is it pie in the sky? Yeah. But how exciting that we feel strongly enough about mm-hmm. our assets and what we have that we're willing to dream and to put ourselves out there and to let people, you know, see that you know, Gary feels qualified for this. They feel excited about the opportunities that they have. They feel that if Amazon wants to be a true change agent and dramatically change the world, that we've identified the ways that you can do that right here in Northwest Indiana. So,
and I think that you said it a while back ago, there are so many assets of Northwest Indiana. We're on the water. We're close to Chicago. There's so many things that can be a benefit that we just need to.
Right. You couldn't afford to recreate the assets that we have here.
Right.
You know, no place would invest to create what we have here. And, you know, Rockefeller and Carnegie, I thought these were great places to plant flags.
Right.
You know, they were pioneer businessmen in their day. And mm-hmm. and we have all of those same elements that attracted them here. And even, you know, better elements, because we're adding more and more of the future elements and the fiber and the things of that nature and reclaiming the lakeshore and those things. So,
mm-hmm. and adding the train, furthering the train and all that stuff to Chicago. And I mean, that's just going to be absolutely beneficial for everybody.
I mean, there's no reason that this should have been a 20-year process. I mean, it it's really hard sometimes for me to understand what people are fighting against, but they're, you know, change is hard.
Well, and back to what you were saying at the beginning, it's the change is hard, and this is the way it's always been, and it doesn't need to be any different type attitude. So
right, and we're still, you know, I got a job at the steel mill. Why can't you get a job at the steel mill? If it was good enough for me, mm-hmm. then it's good enough for my kid, and it's good enough for, you know, my grandkids, and not that it's not good enough, and it's an outstanding opportunity, and you can make great money, but you have to do it differently than it was done three generations ago. It just doesn't happen. Right. It happens with the certificate from Ivy Tech, or it happens, mm-hmm. you know, the skills that are needed are shifting.
I think that's the key. It's the skills. The job may be similar, but the skills are much different.
Right. Because again, the world's evolving every time you blink your eye. Mm-hmm. It's a different place. And so I think the opportunities in that are extremely exciting. And as I said, we have such great resources here and such great assets that truthfully, we can bake any kind of cake we want.
Mm-hmm.
And we can customize the cake to meet other people's needs. But we've got to keep selling those ingredients and talking about them and making them connect well together and learning in what order we have to add them in order for it to work best.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true too. You can't put the cart before the horse.
Right.
Well, that's cool. So do you guys have I'm sure you do, a 5, 10, 20 year plan? What's your short term goals and how are you getting there?
So, as I said, we're going through, not that our plan is to create a plan, but that one of the things that's missing is that we're not all, we don't have a true regional plan or a regional vision that everybody agrees to is the right path. And so we need to craft that and have that so that we're all, you know, I have to say it and it's cliche, but you don't have to like my boat. You don't have to be in my boat with me. We can be in two separate boats, but so long as we can agree that this is the direction we're going, you know, it's been a hard process to get everybody moving in that direction, but I feel really excited about this planning process that we're going into and that will help us to create that plan. But again, some people you're dragging along because why do we have to do this? We know what we should know and we know what we need to do to fix this. And if we just fix it, it would be fine. Well, yeah, of course if we would just fix it, it would be fine. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if we just fix it, it'll be fine. That's great. But if we don't fix it, then we've lost.
If we just keep talking about fixing it and never actually fix it, then what's the point of talking?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Is there anything that I haven't brought up that you want to talk about or?
No, I just think, this is the second hardest and best job that I've ever had. The first hardest and best job that I have is being mother. But this is the second hardest and best job that I've had. I mean, it is hard work and it is a lot of consensus building and it is a lot of people having strong opinions regardless of what you do and 50% of the people hating whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But you persevere and you figure out it's never about me. It's about the region. It's never about our team, but it's about how do we collaboratively work together to really make things happen. And, sometimes that's challenging because people are people and, we all get in the way of ourselves occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that I truly believe in the things that we have here and the people that we have here and the opportunity for this to be a beacon of excitement and activity and, the unrealized potential here is astounding. And so I'm excited to help continue to push toward that. And I love to tell the story and I appreciate you coming and interviewing me because I love to get people excited about the opportunities because again, if we keep circling the wagons and shooting in, we're going to get what we've always gotten and we're going to be where we've always been. And it's unfortunate because again, we have all these assets and all these things that we can actuate into something phenomenal. So,
Stop fighting amongst ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool. So if people want to learn more, what's the best way for them to learn more?
Get involved. Come visit our website. Our website is www.nwyforum.org. I'm love to go out and speak to groups or to work with folks or to talk with ways for people to get engaged in the process. So, I'm happy to have people reach out to us or through info at nwyforum.org. forum.org email address, can email directly to the team, and we'll answer questions, or, you know, we always accept contributions and donations to the good of the order as well. So it's hard, expensive work, and it requires funding. So if people feel so moved to give of their time, talents, or treasure to support moving the region forward, we greatly appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me, Mark.